Lock In, a podcast for young women. You're joined by me, Alice.
And me, Laura.
Oh, and me, hey. Oh, no, it's been a while.
And we've come together to chat about things that we've seen happening in the world around us. Each week it will be something from the ridiculous to the profound. And we invite you to take a look into these things with us as we explore how Jesus makes a difference in these issues and how we make sense of them in light of our faith in him. So today we're going to talk about defamation, which is a pretty big one. But first, Laura, why don't you kick us off? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. We're back on the mics and we're going to talk about this big topic. But before we get into it, I thought I would ask you personally, what's one of the more embarrassing things that has been said about you, or a rumor that's got around, or some, maybe it wasn't rumor, maybe it was truth that got out?
The thing that comes to my mind is a high school memory. And I used to do like French in high school. We can't speak any French now, but that's not the embarrassing bit. There was like a substitute teacher and we had a test, and in the quiet of the test conditions, I did a fart. And that was so, so embarrassing. But for some reason, the teacher put on the form like,
what?
Alice did a fart, or one of the girls did a fart. And so then the next lesson, when the teacher was actually back, she was like
the following, the form about like the feedback of the lesson.
Yeah, like the teacher handed on to the teacher. And so then it like had to relive it because everyone was like, oh yeah, that was Alice, how awkward. And word spread around that I farted in the French test.
Oh my God, that casual doesn't know. High school girl context.
Yeah, that's right. Disrespecting the context big
like
time.
15 or something.
Brutal. Scarred. That's brutal.
That is brutal.
Well, my example is also from high school. I guess that's probably a ripe territory for embarrassing memories. But I was in the playground one day and I was probably also about that same age, like year 9, year 10. And these girls in an older year came up to me in the playground and started teasing me about thinking I was a witch.
What?
And I was just like, that's weird. I was really confused in the moment. And they kept saying all these like jabs about being a witch. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, we know that you think you're a witch. And I was like, that's the other redhead in our grade at school. That's, and they're immediately horrible. Like, oh, oops. sorry. Anyway, then they were embarrassed at the end. But I was like, get your facts straight, you know?
Yes. Well, mine's not from high school because my memory's so bad. So mine's from the weekend.
We just had. Really current content. I appreciate that.
So James and I, and now I feel like I'm just amplifying by putting it on the podcast. James and I have often talked about a part of my personality called the dream crusher, that he will often have a dream and then I'll just crush it. And one of our, which is so sad, I'm working on it, but one of our friends was like, oh, we were with a big group of people away at the farm and one of them were like, okay, so we're all on a desert island. What is the like strength that you bring and the like liability that you bring to that scenario? And like people mainly had to answer for themselves, but James was like, Anna's a dream crusher.
Oh.
And I was like so humiliated. But I think I won't cover. My reputation has been severely damaged.
What was your strength though?
Did he name that or?
Thinking of, no, I thought of it. Thinking of lots of alternative ideas.
That it other can, dreams.
It can sometimes confuse the process though. Mm. That was my strength.
That's good.
That was good. Okay, we are going to jump into a topic. And it's been a while since we've been on the pod, but we just, you know, have been thinking about this topic and thought that'd be a good one to chat about. So Rebel Wilson, Hollywood actor, she has been in movies like Pitch Perfect. She's got a memoir coming out, come out-ish. And everyone has been talking about it. It's called Rebel Rising, because she posted some serious clickbait on her Instagram initially saying that she doesn't work with assholes in the film industry. And then not long after, she didn't have like a good hold back, she exposed who the biggest asshole she's ever worked with. And she was going to reveal that in chapter 23 of her book, but she let it go early.
Spoiler.
And spoiler, it's gone, named Sasha Baron Cohen. And he's a comedian. He's been in Borat and other silly movies like that. And he was married to Australian Isla Fisher. Now, Sasha and his reps have really refused the claims that she's made, and have like tried to like put out video content of her consenting to things and whatnot. But they started their like rebuttal, I guess, with the acknowledgement of it's important to speak out about things, which I thought was interesting. But this feud keeps escalating because his lawyers and crisis managers are really threatening Rebel with the book. And so the book has been stalled in Australia and the UK at this moment, and mainly because we think they have stronger defamation laws than in the States. But she doesn't want to be bullied or silenced, and so she's doubled down and she's released her book, including chapter 23 in the States, that outlines some of the sexual harassment claims that happened during the filming of Grimsby, allegedly. She also makes an assumption in the book that Adele hates her because sometimes they get confused, but she also acknowledges she has no evidence for that. What do you think of this story?
Well, I mean, it feels like there's a few different layers to it because the content of some of the claims, not really the Adele ones, but the other ones, they're so serious and so weighty. And you think, oh, that's really important issues and serious matters of justice and well-being and how people treat each other, really significant, really weighty. At the same time, yes, lots of clickbait on Insta stories, which feels really not particularly serious, or there's not a lot of gravitas to that, and so it's kind of mixed. It's mixed human way of interacting and pulling on interest and curiosity, but also maybe it's genuinely super serious and needs real attention. And so I'm just like, oh, it's got Hollywood vibes about it, that's for sure. Yeah,
totally. I was just thinking the same thing, that there's like a gossip kind of angle, like everyone wants to know who the hardest guy to work with in Hollywood is, and that kind of grabs your attention. But at the same time, it does, yeah, feel serious. She's exposing something, and that's a serious claim to make against someone too.
Totally.
So you can understand why his reps might be trying to like damage control that and try to counteract that narrative. Yeah.
And the kind of damage to his reputation, which then kind of comes along with that.
Yeah, and you sort of think, oh, I think there's like a curiosity about what people are like behind closed doors, and so that fuels the interest and keeps the attention. And but the stakes feel high because big judgments could be made with not much else other than assertions, and so anything that picks up on spilling a secret about someone, whether it is something trivial or something really, really serious, just gets a lot of hype. It goes viral. There's so much, especially if they're wealthy, you know, we're like just curious. We want to know what's going on behind the scenes. How does it all work? So it gets a lot of time.
Yeah. But as you said, like there's not a really high threshold. Like we have no reason to believe that Rebel's lying, but also there's no real evidence process she has to go through, like the legal system kind of puts in place. So it is a tricky one because we don't know exactly where the truth lies. And so, yeah, it's difficult to know how much is Rebel's experience, how much is Sasha's experience, and where does the truth kind of lie in the middle. And if one person has a platform and is sharing the story, then that kind of skews the story in one direction, where there hasn't actually been like a fair, balanced process from his perspective to kind of air the details and the facts and things like that. So it's a funny kind of medium for the story to come out on. Yeah.
And with like a few context clues, sometimes like we make guesses. Like I'm like, oh, well, I assume, like in this scenario, I'm like, I assume Sasha Baron Cohen's probably done the wrong thing. But I guess there's been lots of defamation cases where we do kind of make assumptions or assume something about somebody's reputation. Why do you think defamation cases, particularly in the last year or so, have got so much kind of media attention?
Well, maybe there's something about the complexity of the proliferation of different media channels and kind of the democratization of what can be shared by whom with no filter, which has some real strengths to it and does give voice to the voiceless otherwise sometimes, and that's a good thing and lots to be celebrated and encouraged there, but also can be used in all sorts of different ways as well. So that sort of confuses things more, it raises the stakes, stuff comes out, and sometimes I think people are curious and not suspending judgment necessarily, but not sure where it's going to go. And so that's part of the, like, the suspense and kind of tantalizing to be like, what is going to be found? What are we going to learn more about that? Yeah.
And I also wonder whether we've kind of lost a bit of trust in institutions, like the legal process can be really slow, or there are just systematic biases and problems in systems that mean that sometimes even if you put a claim out there, it's going to get covered up, or it's not going to be exposed as you'd like it, or the evidence is never really going to come out. So I think that we are drawn as Australians to this kind of like underdog story of like someone just, you know, shares what actually happened to them. And even though no one else would listen to them in another format, like this finally is a reckoning moment. And I think we can see, yeah, ways that that has started to produce cultural change and systematic change in industries and, yeah, thinking about things like the Me Too movement, where like people kind of get a voice, yeah.
Why do you think reputation is important to us, and what do you think it means to you?
Well, I mean, one of the things that really strikes me about a defamation sort of situation where there's a really weighty claim, and I guess any serious defamation case is because it's a weighty claim, is there's a couple of kind of layers to it. There's the layer of what actually happened and whether someone is guilty or innocent of an alleged activity or behavior or something. And I think we have a really high value on whether someone's guilty or innocent of what they're accused of doing, and that feels like a window into who they are as a person. Our culture is pretty eager to judge based on those things, and so that feels important. When it comes to people's accounts, and especially when it proliferates online and on all these different channels, then it's not just about what actually happened, but it's how people view you and how they assess you, and your innocence is on the line, but your honor is on the line as well. What other people make of you and their opinion. And so I think those tap into really profoundly kind of deep things that we care about. We feel the weight of our guilt when we are guilty of things, and we're desperate to be vindicated if we're not guilty, but also other people's opinions. It will shape how they treat you, it will shape your relationships, maybe your future, all different sorts of things about your future. And so your honor matters a lot as well. It feels like really high stakes. A lot depends on that. Even if you know, would say to yourself, I am innocent of this, if people don't think that, then it still can feel like game over. People who maybe are harboring guilt but also just want no one to know about that, so that won't impact relationships and all those sorts of things too.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like sometimes defamation cases are like recovery missions and trying to, wanting to regain some status or credibility or employability. So I think, I mean, it matters to lots of people. It matters to me. Like, I want people to like me, and it feels really unjust for narratives to be going around about you that didn't actually happen, or really embarrassing if it did happen but it's just being aired widely. So I think it has that personal impact.
Plus the kind of smear campaign kind of part of a defamation case where both parties get taken down kind of with it often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, if you are in a context where you have confidence about grace and forgiveness, that creates more space to be able to admit to your failings, but facing the consequences, sometimes are just consequences, but also sometimes just being written off as a human being. Of course, you want to guard against that. That's a terrifying thought and a big threat, and none of us want that. And so in a society where we're trying to use super fixed categories, good person, bad person, trustworthy, not, all those sorts of things, and sometimes maybe lose the space for possibilities of difference in the future, I think that makes the pull all the stronger to just defend your honour, whether it's falsely or truly based. Yeah,
that's right, because you can feel this sense of like, if I've lost my reputation, I've lost everything. But I suppose if you have a foundation that says, even if I've lost my reputation, I haven't lost everything, because there's a like firmer foundation underneath that and a kind of basis of being loved, even despite my flaws, even despite the way people have seen me or the mistakes I've made, then yeah, I think you're right. That gives you a freedom to admit to some things and face the consequences of them.
Yeah.
All is not lost.
Yeah.
What is that firmer foundation for you, Al?
Well, immediately I think about this story of Jesus being led out to be crucified, a very shameful death for a criminal, and kind of being leveled, having these accusations leveled at him and not being guilty of the charges, and yet bearing the shame of that, bearing the punishment, wearing a mock crown that was made out of thorns, and doing that so that my shame and my guilt would be like borne by him. I think that makes me feel confident that someone, firstly, that I follow has suffered that reputational damage unjustly for my sake, but also that even if I, get myself into a situation where my reputation is shattered among people, that what Jesus has done is enough to cover that for me. And so I can keep going to him and I won't lose his favour.
Yeah, and thinking about, the example for Jesus, where it was unjust what was, slandered of him and the accusations and all the mocking, and that might be the same true for people as well, but to say my sense of who I am doesn't start with what other people think of me, it doesn't end there either, but being known and loved by God, who sees all truth and has that is a real sense of comfort and reassurance. And then in the moments where you're like, no, actually that is a bad sort of element of my behavior, or maybe it's, frankly something darker inside me that's come out that is genuinely shameful, that doesn't deserve respect or honor, to know that God's grace is so outrageous, it's so great, and because of what Jesus did, I can actually face that and own up to it and not try and throw other people under the bus or cover up myself, but to be honest about that. And that's an incredible offering of kind of the foundation for openness to justice and then forgiveness. I think that it's hard to come by. You don't see that often in the world, where we're so infuriated when people don't own up to what they've actually done. But also we don't want to offer them a different path either, but God's way is different. Yeah.
Guys, some big thoughts to leave you with there. Thanks for listening, and thanks for jumping back into our little mini podcast again today. We will be back soon. Please subscribe so you know whenever the episodes will randomly drop.
Could be anytime.
A few month gaps in between, maybe tomorrow. It's hard to know.
Not if you're tomorrow, on your toes. Probably. Yeah, probably not tomorrow.
If you have feedback or you have something you want us to chat about, you can send an email to lookin.pod@gmail.com or find our Insta at r.look.in.pod. Can't wait till next time. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.